Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 418 of the podcast. And this is a shorter in-betweenisode episode. Just me today on seven reasons you might consider narrating your own audiobook. Now, I wrote this as a blog post because I have just put out A Thousand Fiendish Angels, my first narrated fiction. But then I decided to also record this as a little episode and add in a sample of A Thousand Fiendish Angels at the end. So if you're interested in that, you can fast forward, or you can listen to me talk for a little bit about seven reasons to narrate your own audiobook. So audiobooks are the fastest growing segment in publishing, and you will have heard that this week in the discussion with Will Dagus from Findaway, but also I've said this for a while, there's been lots of reports on it. Now, most authors license their audio rights and work with professional narrators to produce their books. So why might you consider narrating your own audiobook? Now, I have narrated my own nonfiction, so Business for Authors, How to Be an Author Entrepreneur. I narrated that a couple of years ago now. It still stands mostly entirely brilliant. also fiction, A Thousand Fiendish Angels, but also I've just done The Dark Queen, which I'm about to QA and get that out there as well. So here's why I'm doubling down on narration in 2019 and why you might consider it for your books. Number one, you love audio. Now, I presume that you're listening to this because you love audio, and it is a growth segment in terms of income. But if you don't love a medium, then you're not going to master it. And you probably are not even listening to this if you don't love audio. So in the same way that when people ask about writing a book, so if people say to me, oh, I want to write a book, but I don't read, then I generally just kind of ignore them and pass them on because they will never be successful as an author. If you don't read, why would you write? In the same way, I think that if you don't spend time listening to audio podcasts and audiobooks, why would you think of narrating it? So that would be the first step. Definitely think about listening to audiobooks if you're considering narration in any form. So I listen to podcasts and audiobooks every day. Today, on my sort of 7-8 minute walk to the local cafe, I was listening to a few minutes of another audiobook. So that's kind of how I break up my day. And if I'm doing chores, or I'm going to the shops, or if I'm cleaning or cooking, or sometimes if my eyes are tired, I'll listen to audiobooks instead of reading. So I think, and I was thinking back to when I was young, when there were tapes. Remember tapes? I remember distinctly Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. Now, if you don't know that, I'm struggling not to sing along with it right now. But essentially, it's got classical music, and there's a noise for the duck, and there's a noise for Peter, and there's a noise for the wolf. And if you haven't listened to that, definitely listen to it. If you have kids, I still think it stands the test of time. So Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. I also remember The Prisoner of Zenda, which had a character called Flavia. And I remember Flavia just being my favourite character name. And I actually went to try and find a link to the version of The Prisoner of Zenda that I must have listened to. Interestingly enough, it is public domain. It was written in 1890 something, and most of the narration is terrible, so terrible in fact that I couldn't bear to link to something in the show notes. But anyway, back to the thing. I used to listen to those over and over again. And I remember also going to the library to get tapes. And I don't know if you remember, if you're of the same era, they used to have those kind of horrible plastic cases that used to be really grubby. So years later, anyway, obviously I moved on to self-help tapes, and then later downloadable audio MP3s before they became podcasts and digital audiobooks. So you know, I listened to audio before it was called podcasting, before it was a downloadable audiobook. And also thinking about this on a much bigger scale, humans have always escaped into stories and information and things by the human voice. Stories told about the fire, lives changed for good and bad through the power of the spoken word. So audio is a powerful medium. You have to love it if you want to master it. Number two, the power of voice to build connection in a crowded market. So there are a lot of books in the world and more are published every day. Now, I talked this week on the podcast about the advent of AI tools that will help generate even more text and mass translate existing works from other languages. So there will only be more content for people to consume. Equally, something like, just backlists coming into play, publishers being more aware of intellectual property rights. I think there will be more and more content. You can't say that there will be less content in a future market. So how do you stand out and build a sustainable author business for the long term? So I've been podcasting for 10 years now, and although I've written 28 books, most, I would say 99.9999999% of people have not read all of those books. I mean, even more than that. I wonder if any other person other than me has read all my books. But it's fascinating because some people, and I really appreciate it when you do buy any of my books and you find them useful or entertaining, but more people tell me that I have helped them through this podcast than through my books. And I listen to podcasts too, and I often get far more from the speaker through their podcast than from their books. So I think there's a kind of double thing going on there. If people have your voice in their head, it's an intimate experience. You can change lives. You can provide a new direction for people. You can provide escape with fiction for a little while. And there's so much more than words in a voice. You guys hear my tone, my accent, my smile. You get far more information from me talking about these words than just reading them flat on the page. And the thing with audiobooks and narration is fascinating because a reader of audio, so a listener, let's say, must connect with the voice of the author in the story, but also the voice of the narrator who brings the book alive. And the most disappointed listeners and the kind of the worst reviews on the audio sites like Audible are when the narrator does not match the voice of the author. And it happens so often. I mean, it really, really does. And finding a voice to speak your words can be a real challenge, especially one that fits your budget. So for example, Map of Shadows, I've listened to so many voices looking for a voice that would bring that book alive in audio, and I haven't found anyone. And that's why partly I'm moving into doing this myself, because actually, when you narrate your own work, your voice is consistent. You're the author, you're the narrator. It's not a bad match because it's the same voice. Obviously, there's skills involved. That will be another thing at some point. But the consistency of voice is so important to a listener. And if you have, I mean, a good voice will just fade into the background. A bad voice can completely ruin it. The other thing is that an author who also narrates is memorable because so few people do it. And this is another thing with my podcast. There have been a lot of podcasts over the years about writing and publishing, and very few of us still remain, actually. And it's interesting because, and that makes me more memorable than people who've come and go over the years. I mean, maybe people who even did their podcast for 5 years
But when you've been doing it for 10 years and you're still going, you know, that makes you memorable because you're still here. Now, the same thing with narrating fiction. So I became a fan of thriller author Scott Sigler, I guess thriller slash sci-fi slash fantasy author Scott Sigler, over 10 years ago. I listened to him narrate his book Infected, which is brilliant. It's probably more horror, actually. It's probably thriller slash horror. And the subsequent books in that series, I listened to him read all three of them. Now, I have bought a number of his books since, but I can still hear his voice. I'm actually looking at the cover of the audiobook now, and you can obviously go buy it, and he performs it. And Scott is not the most gifted narrator in the whole world, but he's been narrating his own work for years, and he has rabid fans, absolutely rabid fans who love his fiction. And I have spent 10 years plus spreading the word about him because he reads his fiction. He stands out. His books are great, but he also stands out. So I did interview Scott way back in 2010, so you can listen to that on the podcast. I'll link to that in the show notes, and we talk about audio as well as how he moved. He was indie originally, and then he got traditional book deal off the back of his audio audience. So really fascinating career, I guess, but very memorable because he narrates. Now, voice builds connection. And you guys, I mean, I know many of you have said to me at events, I feel like I know you because of the podcast, because you hear me laugh and because I'm with you in the trenches as such. And in an increasingly crowded market, we need connection with readers. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes things like email marketing or doing ads, none of that fosters, in my mind, the type of connection that you can have through your voice. So that's why I am aiming to double down on this. Number three, you can improve your writing skill and characterization in particular. So I find that reading work aloud can dramatically improve your writing craft. Now, I find with nonfiction, this is very much about editing for content structure, flow, discovering jargon, discovering difficult to read or make sense of passages. So it is more like a line edit with nonfiction, which is super useful. But fiction has transformed things for me, like some big pennies have dropped for me. Because when you're narrating, each character, even if they're a minor character, needs a voice. And when you think about voice, you actually, as in you're actually going to speak their words, you have to think about who they are. You have to take them off the written page and into spoken dialogue. Now, I'll be the first to say that I have not been strong on dialogue, although weirdly, I get some reviews that say my dialogue's good, but I have not really felt so comfortable with dialogue. And I think it's got better since I've moved into dictation because it's, you know, you use words that you would use when you speak. But with looking again at things I've written for audio, I've ended up editing the text again as I read it aloud because the character developed as I did the narration. And now I know they wouldn't speak like that. So what's kind of crazy is re-editing, rethinking character because of that, which is another reason I'm going to do Map of Shadows while I write the second book in that series. So by narrating that first book, and then I'll probably, update the edition in order to do the second book. But what's, and obviously indie authors, we can just update the edition. So it's not a big deal. If you've signed contracts, then of course that can be much more difficult. But what I love is that I can read my own work, and instead of not being able to change it, I can actually change it. You do become a better storyteller when you're performing your story. You're thinking about the listener far more than you do when you're writing a book. So when you're writing, you're often like in your own life, in your own head. And then when you're narrating, you're very much thinking about communicating to another person. You are imagining that person there. Well, I'm imagining you guys here right now. And that helps you because it helps your performance. Obviously, regardless of genre, it's another line edit. So you do pick up things you missed when you were reading in your mind, and even things that a proofreader has missed. The other thing I've discovered, which is fascinating, is repeated sounds rather than repeated words. So when you edit, you'll always find that for some reason in this book, you got attached to a specific word and it's popping up everywhere. Often you'll find a repeated word from line to line because it's in your head. But by narrating, you also hear repeated sounds. So Monique, the name Monique and the word speak, they're spelt differently. So if you were reading it in your head, you might skim over that. Whereas actually they sound quite similar. So when you're doing that, you might change the word speak. So Monique does something else, just because it's very noticeable when you say things out loud. So that's something I found fascinating. Number four, you're creating another intellectual property asset and another stream of income that you control. And yes, I know this is my soapbox. But your book is not one book. Your manuscript is an intellectual property asset that you can turn into multiple products and multiple streams of income. Now, over the last 10 years, indie authors have really mastered ebooks and print on demand with basic paperbacks. And we can do that. We can publish on almost every global platform. We can produce lots of different editions now. We can do hardback. We can do large print. We can do mass market paperback. We can do all kinds of editions. Special editions. Oh, we can pretty much do everything. And this is very exciting. And as independent authors, we like to control our assets. We like to publish them to new platforms. We like to expand our streams of income into the global market. At least that's what I like to do. Now, what's happened with audio, which is really fascinating, is of course, up until realistically the last 6 months, authors have had limited options for publishing their audio wide or publishing if they're international authors. Now, ACX is still only available to authors in some countries. Findaway Voices and Authors Republic allow authors all over the world now to publish their books, their audiobooks wide and also sell direct. Findaway Voices has Authors Direct, and I've included the link to my Authors Direct page and at the moment I'm getting various rights back so I can sell more audio direct. At the moment, the audio you can buy from me direct includes 1,000 Fiendish Angels, How to Market a Book, How to Make a Living with Your Writing, and Valley of Dry Bones. So to fiction, to nonfiction. And I'll be getting more on that over time as I get various rights back. So you can choose your price, you can sell to libraries. And as more audio opportunities arise, we will be able to jump in and explore them, but only if we control the rights. And many authors will find that they have licensed their audio rights, but the publisher has not got the audiobook made. So if that's you, please do check your contracts and see if you can, if you either do you control the rights or does the publisher control the rights and have they produced an audiobook? And if they haven't, then get those rights back and get on with it. Obviously there are some very, very good audiobook deals out there and I would definitely sign an audiobook deal if it was good enough. But for most authors, it's not. Most audio contracts are not that exciting, and many authors sign contracts they might regret later. Many also start with royalty split deals, as certainly I did, which is sharing the income with the narrator. Now, that is a great way to get into audio because many people can't afford to do audio. But what it does mean is you are locked in to exclusivity with ACX. Now, Findaway Voices will just announce that they are doing a royalty split type of thing. So that may be an option in the future. But certainly once I could afford to pay narrators up front and keep all the rights, that's what I've been doing. But if you narrate it yourself, you are spending your time rather than your money. And also you control the timing and you control everything, which is very, very cool. Number five, self-development and increased self-confidence in performing your creative work. Now, weirdly, at the time of writing this, the beginning of 2019, I have still never read my fiction in public. I have spoken professionally all over the world in the kind of non-fiction arena, but I have never read so much as a line of my novels. Now, that's quite weird, but mainly it's because I'm afraid. It means so much to me. My fiction is my heart. You will know me deeply by reading my fiction. And I make myself vulnerable, especially if I'm reading something that I know has a deeper level, then sure, it's tough. And I have turned down many opportunities to read or speak as my fiction self, J.F. Penn. But I've turned a real corner in this through narration, because learning how to narrate my fiction has given me confidence, because it's actually about a performance. In the same way that nonfiction speaking is a performance, fiction speaking and narration is also a performance. It's an adaptation of the words from the flat page, and my voice brings them alive. Now, just to be clear, my narration of audiobooks is not the same as this informal podcasting. Obviously, you're reading your words and you're not changing them on the fly or adding stuff. But as I do here, and I'm kind of extemporizing as we go through the notes that I prepared. But what this has given me is just an understanding that I can perform my own work. And that's very exciting to me. And maybe some of you feel the same. Number six, development of another skill and extending your body of work. So I'm a learning junkie, and I think most independent authors are learning junkies. And I have been spending money on voice coaching and learning a lot about narration and about sound. And I'm discovering this whole world that I didn't know before. Even Dan, my wonderful audio tech, hi Dan, says that my ear has got a lot better in the years that we've now been working together. I'm also learning more about my body and my voice as an instrument, things like stretching so my rib cage expands, and how to use my breathing a lot more, which is something I have always struggled with, and also about how to take care for something I've always taken for granted, so my voice. And by narrating, it's incredible how much stamina you need for audiobook narration. And the reason why is you are using your brain so much, but you're also using your body, you're breathing, there's energy being put out. So it's really fascinating. I also appreciate extending my body of creative work into the audio sphere. I do not like relying, as I've said many times, I do not like relying on one way of making money, because change happens so fast. So for example, in the last couple of years, you know, I started to see my ebook sales drop off with the advent of KDP Select. And so I was like, okay, well, then I need to get into other forms of income. So print, for example, my income from print has more than doubled in the last year or so. Be interesting to see where it is now. I've added so many more formats like hardbacks and large print and stuff. But I also love audio. I think that having more of my works in audio will help the stability of my income. Again, my income from audio doubled in the last sort of 18 months as well. So relying on one company, one product, one format, one form of income means that you are, potentially vulnerable to changes in the market. And so this is just another way of expanding, but also expanding my creative body of work. And I remember visiting, and I won't name names, but I visited the attic storeroom of a well-known voice talent here in the UK who has narrated books for over 40 years. And she is incredible. And her shelves were stacked full of tapes and CDs, representing a body of work that was far more significant than the films and TV shows she would be well known for. And I'm just starting out in this, really. You know, yeah, I've been doing this for 10 years, but I'm fully intending to be doing this for another 50 years. So I really am just starting out. So what are my shelves going to look like? I mean, I'm going to have to make audiobook tapes, or I don't know what we'll do, but I'll need some kind of evidence of audio, I guess. But it's interesting because I'm really thinking about my creative body and work, and I feel that audio is another angle almost. And then finally, number seven, marketing within a genre. So I have only narrated my own books right now, and I've narrated Business for Authors as Joanna Penn, and I've narrated Fiendish Angels as J.F. Penn. So the narrator name will also link the books you narrate, as well as the author name, which links the books you narrate. So some people, some listeners will follow narrators around. So Scott Brick is a really kind of famous narrator in the thriller space. He narrates a hell of a lot of books, and he, you know, listeners will go and download the latest book he narrated, regardless of what that was. So my thinking is that at some point, not yet, it's a way off, but if I narrated other books in the same genre as my fiction, it may well lead more readers to my work. Now, it takes a lot of time and energy right now for me to narrate and edit. And also, I need a budget for mastering Dan again. But it's on my longer term plan, because the pro narrators can go in the studio and do a book in a couple of working days. So if I get to the point of skill and voice that people want to listen to, then that's something I would consider. Now, also, audio sales is a massive chunk of my nonfiction book sales these days. So why not fiction? And part of the reason is this podcast. I've been podcasting as a nonfiction author for 10 years. I have never podcasted as JF Penn, which is why I'm starting my new site, to be announced very soon, that will hopefully also bring my voice into that other sphere. Now, it will still have it will still be nonfiction in inverted commas, but it will be me as JF Penn. It will be my voice. So yeah, there we go. So in conclusion, I guess I'm thrilled to have my first fiction audiobook out there. And I will also be doing more audio. As I said, The Dark Queen will be coming in the next couple of weeks. I'm about to hand that over for mastering. And I'll also then be working on Map of Shadows and also getting some more of my nonfiction into audio. Now, I will still work with narrators for some books. So, for example, Veronica Jaguer, who does my Arcane series, she really is Morgan Sierra at this point, so she'll keep doing those, but I'll also be recording my own as well. So I would love to know what you think about authors who narrate their own audiobooks. So I'd love for you to leave questions, thoughts, comments on the show notes. So as ever, you can just go to thecreativepen.com/podcast. And this is episode number 418. And also, you could just tweet me at The Creative Pen or something like that. So if you want to learn more, I highly recommend a audiobook that just came out. It's called Storyteller, How to Be an Audiobook Narrator by Lorelei King and Ali Muirden. And Ali is British, Lorelei is American. And that is an excellent audiobook on how to be an audiobook narrator. And I've put some more books and blog posts and things that are useful in the show notes. Also, I have a list of some audiobooks read by the author. So of course there's my books. There's also Infected by Scott Sigler, The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, Wildfire at Dawn, the lovely ML Buckman, who's been on this show before. Matt is an indie author who narrates his own romance books. And so I've linked to Matt's book, but also I've linked to an article that he wrote on the Findaway blog about what he learned from narrating 25 of his fiction audiobooks. Stephen King, of course, narrates On Writing, A Memoir of the Craft, and I have that and I've listened to it a lot. And Mary Robinette Kowal, who narrates a lot of her books, Shades of Milk and Honey, I link to. Mary is on the Writing Excuses podcast, so many of you might know her voice. And also Mary is a puppeteer, so I'm interested in her performance art in that way. Right, so I hope you found this little in-between-isode useful. Coming up next, I'm going to include the sample for 1,000 Fiendish Angels, 3 short stories inspired by Dante's Inferno, linked across generations by a book of human skin. And yes, these stories are dark fantasy / horror, but not too horror. I mean, if you've read Dante's Inferno, you kind of get the drift. Now, I've re-edited this 1,000 Fiendish Angels, and it's now in ebook, print, hardback, large print, and and audiobook. And you can go to jfpenn.com/angels for all the links. And that is wide as an audiobook. And if that's not your thing and you want to stick with nonfiction, you could listen to me narrate Business for Authors, thecreativepen.com/businessbook. And you will find all the links there. Okay, I'll be back on Monday with the usual show. Happy listening, happy writing. I'll see you next time. The chapel was old and partly ruined. Stone blocks covered in lichen lay in the grass, below gargoyles hanging skewed from the edges of broken masonry, their faces eaten away by time. The present facade seemed to be built upon a more archaic structure, stones that had perhaps been worshipped as pagan gods in the days before Christ. The plants in the churchyard were withered, all colour leached from them. They covered the earth in thick patches, rising up from around the edges of tombstones, nourished by the dead beneath. I had imagined that I was running to sanctuary, but now the oppressive and malevolent miasma of the place sank into my bones. I hesitated, yet I still wanted to enter, my curiosity deeply roused to search for the mysterious book. The fury of the storm surged again, crackling with energy, wind whipping round in tornado spirals, lifting the heads of strange albino flowers to the sky. Dust and ashes blew into my eyes, painting the scene with the desolate grey of morning. I rubbed them frantically to clear my vision and hurried into the porch, my face brushing against something soft as I stumbled out of the wet gloom. I reeled back to see a dead crow hung by the neck above me, blue-black feathers still adhering to decaying flesh, its eyes open and unseeing. The great door opened with a sigh. The wind sucked inside, filling the void with the desolation of chill air. I stepped through, my footfall stirring dust from the floor, the sound echoing around the deserted building. The light inside was an amethyst haze from the heavy storm clouds, barely penetrating the nave through intricate stained glass windows with images of tortured saints, martyred for the glory of their God. The chapel venerated death rather than eternal life, and ahead of me, as if in homage, a life-size crucifix hung behind the altar. Christ's face was a skeletal version of the dead Fairwald, as if the Son of God could see what hell awaited him beyond the veil. My eyes dropped to the altar, draped in cloth that had once been pure white, but which now hung in dirty, dismal tatters. As the holiest place in the building, it was surely the most fitting location to bury such a book. I walked towards it, across flagstones carved with the names of the dead. The words ran into each other like the broken letters on Fairwald's body, a mass grave of victims who perished together in some ancient plague. I usually felt a calm peace within churches, a sense of something holy, but this place was malignant and hungry, taking each breath faster than I could exhale.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time.